Yes, Patty, you agree with that? It's amazing, absolutely. Sure. Roland, I'm like blown. I'm just like, sure, God did something special during worship. So Roland's going to, Betty, do you want to try and gearing up again? Or will the professional come and do that? And so guys, have you got your seatbelts on? Are your hearts open to receive? Your minds open to receive? Trust that God will come and do something through the message that he's going to bring through Roland, and that we will leave here changed. So you guys ready? Great.
Is it on, Gary? No. No, there it is. Yeah. Okay. Donnie's scared I'm going to preach the same message twice. No way. I've got at least three messages here. Worship group, that was really lekker. In English, it was really good. Ek gaan nou in Afrikaans preek. That's going to make the difference. Yo, if I could do it, I would. Maar ek is tweetalig. What did I lie? I am tweetalig. Two words, I can speak in tongues in English. Can you put that scripture up for us, Kolya? Matthew 14, verse 22. I was quite chuffed with the word that Lou brought, because it's sort of, I can move my preach around that. God saying to us from our scripture, go to the other side. Don't stay here, go to the other side. And we all, I suppose quite a few of you weren't here. We've just seen the miracle of the loaves and the fish, and just before that scripture, and it says in John 6:15 that they wanted to come and make a king out of Jesus because of this miracle that he had done. And so when we start to read in the scripture, and he says, he tells his disciples, he actually says, go to the other side, because his disciples are all getting caught up in this thing of, let's make him a king, because if he's a king, we like the 12 wise men, or we close to him, so we're going to be great as well. Because you know, the human flesh is always wanting something that we shouldn't be longing after. So Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Made, that word made means to compel, to force, to. It's a strong word. Go on ahead of him to the other side. And this morning, I really believe that word that Lou brought, speaking to go to the other side. We need to go to the other side of this pandemic that we found ourselves in. We cannot continue to live in the restrictions of what this is about. So we need to, and I believe that as we start to learn to open up ourselves personally, our hearts, our minds, we'll begin to see a change in what is going on around us. We cannot sit and wait for the government to make the changes. Yes, we're not going to break what they're doing, but we have to be those that are actively praying, pushing, dancing, jumping, doing whatever we need to do to break freedom into the atmosphere that we live. So anyway, he dismisses them, tells them to go to the other side, and then he goes up to pray on the mountain. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already quite far out, and the winds start to come. And so shortly before dawn, Jesus walks out, and these guys are panicking. And it's strange that they were panicking, because they were fishermen. They were fishermen, so they were used to plying their trade on the sea, and they dealt with many storms, but this must have been a bigger than normal storm. That's why they started to panic. And so in the middle of panicking, Jesus arrives, and they say, oh, it's a ghost. Straight away, they presume the worst. It's a ghost. And Jesus says to them, it is I. That little sentence, it is I, is actually, it means I am who I am. It's I am Yahweh. I am your God. Not I'm Jesus, the oak who walks on water every now and again and feeds a few people. No, I'm God. I created the heavens and the earth. Never mind a few loaves of bread and a few pieces of fish. So then we all know the story of Peter, where Peter says to Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come. But as I said in the earlier thing, we've all learned to dwell on that thing. And shame, if Peter was alive, he'd be so disgraced and in such trouble because he began to sink. Well, I need to say to you, first of all, is have you ever walked on water? He actually started out on the water. And then the storm got the better of him. He began to look at the stuff around him. But that story of Peter that we always focus on is only in one of the Gospels. And there's four Gospels. It's actually not that important. I think the important part was that they were in a storm and Jesus came. And I think we find ourselves at this moment in time, we find ourselves in a storm. I can't believe that we can't sing. I'm not having a go at anyone. I'm dumbfounded. I can't believe that I can't speak to my friends. I know that we mustn't and we need to wear our masks and stuff like that. But I'm like, come on. You know what? Unfortunately, and for me, I'm one of those guys at the top of the list to get this stuff if it happens. We have to move on with our lives. We have to trust God. It's like these guys in the storm. They should have been trusting God, not panicking and starting to say, oh, I'm scared, we're going to sink, and whatever the story may be, and there's a ghost coming. They didn't even know who was coming. They'd spent years with Jesus already, and they didn't recognize him. Are you going to recognize Jesus when he comes to you in your situation? That's a challenge for me as well. When Jesus comes, am I going to recognize him because I've spent time with him, I've been intimate with him, so I know who he is? I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in worship often, or sometimes when I'm preaching, I experience the Holy Spirit in a certain way, and I know he's there. If I rub my fingers like this, I can feel oil. And it doesn't happen every time. I can feel oil on my fingers. And it's not weird. This is my thing. Patty doesn't do that. I can feel oil when the Holy Spirit is there. It's a strange sensation. My finger just slips over my other fingers, and it's weird. But I know he is here with me now. I know it. And you know what? You must ask God for something that will let you know. So that when he's there, you know, that's him. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. I know. And it's a strange thing. It never used to happen. And then one day, it was after we had planted in Nelspruit that I began to have this sensation. And I never told anyone until recently I told someone. And because I thought I was nuts. But honestly, it feels like I haven't got fingerprints, that my fingers, my thumb just runs over my fingers. But you know what? We need to know when Jesus is there. My challenge is, do you know when he is there? Or you're just like, I'll read my scripture today, I'll pray today, I'll worship today. And when he rocks up in the middle of all that, you actually don't know who he is. So I think this message is coming out different. That's good. So anyway, even though it's in one of the Gospels, we can't forget about old Peter there. And so Peter jumps out and he says, tell me to come to you. I want to ask you this morning, what is the difference between Peter's faith? What's the difference between walking on water and sinking? What's the difference? So, okay, you can't answer because you've got masks on. You know what the difference is? 3 inches of wood. The boat. And sometimes it's 3 inches of wood between our head and our heart that stops God from speaking to us in faith, for us receiving from God in faith. Candace, if he runs around there and he can't go near anyone, that's fine. Children don't bug me. Honestly, they don't. You plant a church. It's fortunate to have children because it means you've got young families. Don't worry. Don't get uptight. You're doing a wonderful job just by being here. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me. Tell me to come to you. First of all, he should have had the faith to just jump out and start walking. Don't tell me to come to you, Jesus. It would be better if he said, hey, I'm coming. I remember there was a prophet who died not so long ago by the name of Kim Clement. And when he was growing up, and the Lord started to use him, and he said one day he had a baptism to do. And he said he was going to show people that he could walk on the water. So he put on his best three-piece suit. In those days, you had to wear a three-piece suit to go to church. You couldn't come like we do. And he was going to walk across the water and just push the person's head under, and then they were baptized. He said, well, you know what happened, eh? First step out onto the water, there I went in my three-piece suit under the water. So it's not only Peter that's failed. There's more than Peter. And so, but you know what? We all know why Peter started to sink. His focus was set on Jesus, and then it moved off Jesus to the wake, the waves and the storm around him. And you know what? That can very well happen to us now in this pandemic. Our focus can come off Jesus because the storm around us, hey, we lost our job. Hey, we're struggling in our marriage. All these things because of this virus that is going on. But we begin to lose our focus on Jesus. I'm allowed to spit on you, babe?
Yeah, please spit okay. On me.
It's anointing, yeah, babe. You want some of that oil? You can't get it. Only I've got it. But we cannot lose our focus no matter what is going on around us. Let me tell you, there have been a few times in my life that I've lost my focus. I remember a day I told the guys earlier we were involved in a plane crash, and I was panicking. Patty was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, but I don't think it was in faith. I think it was in fear. And we walked away from here to the wall from a cliff. If we had gone over there, we would have been dead. But there was another time too. We had just arrived in Nelspruit, and if any of you ever want to plant a church, the best way to do it is with your children. When they go to school, you have children's parties. You just invite people to come to the children. And so Daniel's birthday was the first one when we got up there, and we went in the October, and the November was his birthday, and so we invited all the people that he knew. They weren't friends yet, he just met them. But Daniel, he just makes friends wherever he goes. He's just like, hey, you, this, that. So I had to say to him, hey, Dan, just cool it, because like we're paying our own way yet. We haven't got a salary. We were taking the money that we had made on our house, and we were paying to plant this church. But anyway, God blessed us. And so all these children arrive. And you know what? There was one little guy. He was a stirrer. He always caused problems. Afterwards, I saw it happen as well. And we had a beehive that had like crowded into the bottom of this tree. And they weren't normal bees. They were African bees. And so they were all in there. And this little guy, if he had just left him out, it would have been okay. He threw a stone in there. And the next minute, everyone was getting stung. I won't even go down the whole long story. But Patty ended up with about 150 stings. And Joel and Daniel, Seth for some reason didn't really.
He was older, so
he ran faster. So I was older, so I kept under better than you as well. Because I got stung a few times, wasn't too bad. But Patty got hammered and Daniel got hammered and Joel got hammered. So now we're sitting there, no medical aid, no money. They have to go. They are sick. So they're off to the doctor. They get a couple of injections and shots. They come back the next day. The stings have gone down, but they feel like they've been hit by a train. Even I felt like that, and I had about 3 bites. I'm very clever. I jumped in the pool and I stayed under the water. Patty was trying to handle the kids in the water. Anyway, we cannot allow this pandemic to rob us of what God's got for us. Because if we begin to shift our eyes on the things around us, I tell you what, just after that, now we're sitting there with no finances, and Sappi, I used to work for Sappi. I was a production manager, senior production manager at Sappi, and where we had come from in Unkumas, and they found out that I was in Nelspruit, where they've got a massive plant just outside Nelspruit. So the guy phones. I pick up the phone. He says, "Oh, hello, Roland." I didn't even know he was. I said, "Oh, hello." He said, "We hear that you've moved up to Nelspruit." I said, "Yeah, we've moved up." He said, we would really like it if you came in for an interview because we've got a really good job that we'd like to give you." So now I'm thinking, whoa, money, we can do this if we got some money. So I said, "Just hang on." I put my hand over the phone and I shout to Patty because she isn't next to me. "Babe, Sappy's is giving me a much better job than I had before." And the job I had before was good. "They're giving me a great job." She shouts back at me, "We did not come here to you to get a better job. We came here to plant a church." "Sorry, I'm not available." I just had my wife to focus me. And guys, that's what we need now during this time. We can end up very distracted. We can end up frustrated with this church, the way we're meeting now. Think, "Oh, no, man, I want to go and sit 1.5. Or this looks like about 2 meters. About 2 meters from the person that I want to do, and I can't talk to them, and I can't do all these things." Don't allow those distractions to distract you. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 10:26, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. And so I want to tell you that God will bless you for your obedience, for being here. How are you going behind that mask there, Peter? You're good. So Jesus says to Peter, "Why are you of little faith?" Not that bad. Jesus said as well, "If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move." Have you ever thought about that? How can that really happen? How can faith move a mountain? Do you know what that word mountain means? It's the word oros. Like oros, the juice, oros. It means unbelief. So he says, if you have faith in your life, speak to this unbelief and it'll be gone. So learn to speak to yourself. So when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Yo, it's late already. And they were on the other side immediately. So, folk, when Jesus tells you to go to the other side, whatever part of your life that is, when he says go to the other side, go through the situation, you need to know that when you go to the other side, there's going to be a storm, and the closer you walk into Jesus, actually the bigger the storm's going to be. Because if there's no opposition, I actually question the fact that you're actually walking closely with Jesus. I question that. Because whenever I've been walking with the Lord, I've come under serious attack. But you know what? When you're walking with Jesus, you can push through it. You really can. So what are these storms? One of the storms that we'll say is, oh, God's not with us. When we find ourselves in a place where we have lost our sight of Jesus, we need to go back to the Word to get faith. We need to go back there so that the Word can remind us of who we are in Christ. And so Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So if you're thinking, oh, God's not here, I don't know where he is, like the disciples, he's up on the mountain praying, and they're saying, well, he's not here, there's a storm, we're going to die. No, when you find yourself in that place, you remind yourself, God will never leave me, he will never forsake me. He might not give you the answer you want, but he will be with you. He will be with you. Storms. What can those storms be? What can the storm be? You know what? Storms come externally and they come internally. Externally, relationships, marriage, finances, those things that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Those things come on the outside. I find those things easier to work with than the things that come inside, like fear and pride. And those things that we shouldn't have. 1 Peter 2:11 says, the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Guys, when we find ourselves judging others, when we find ourselves walking in fear or unbelief, when we find ourselves with those things, we need to go to God, because how you judge, you'll be judged. That's what the Word says. It also says, you judge a tree by its fruit. So when you see the fruit in someone's life, you can make a judgment. You can't make a judgment without the actual fruit coming off there. Because you might say, this is an apple tree, but actually it's a pear tree. We need to judge the fruit, not the person. And in James 2:13, it speaks about the fact that mercy triumphs. Mercy is over judgment. So if you want to judge, judge with mercy. Because when you judge, you're going to want mercy. You know, all know this, the thing about mercy, eh? Mercy is what we don't get when we should get it from God. We receive mercy from God, and so we don't get punished because of Jesus Christ. Grace is what we do get. We receive grace from God. So this morning, if I can, Tian, you want to come in? Hey, Tian, you really did well this morning. It's really good. And all the musicians with them as well. Hey, and the flag people, they were really good. Eh? Especially the oak over here. Why are you laughing? I was thinking, you know what? We used to have, was it a Nelspruit? Yeah, just a quick squirrel moment. We used to, while Tian's getting ready, we used to have big flags. I used to like to whip that thing. You could hear it like crack in the air when you're working with it. Or you got smaller ones, and they I think they got like a metal round ball on the end. So you can actually throw it up, and then it turns around, and the ball comes down first so that you can grab the flag. Hey, I used to have fun. I love doing that sort of stuff, you know. And if we can't sing, then I'm going to do something else to worship the Lord. Bring a flag next week if you haven't got one. No, I approve that, hopefully. Worship's not for ladies only. Sometimes you would think so, but it's not true. So this morning, if you feel that you've maybe lost your focus on Jesus in any area, on externally or internally, this morning I wonder, let's all stand. I wonder if you could just put your hand up as a response to God. I'm not even looking, but God is a God that desires a response from us. And so this morning we've maybe lost our way a little. We've lost our focus. You can put your hand down if you've put it up. And God wants to come this morning. He wants to change that. He wants to change that. So Father, I thank you. I know Tian was singing earlier on already. I just sensed God beginning to do stuff in people's hearts and lives. Lord, I pray for every single person here this morning that as they leave with an excitement in their heart that once again we are gathering together, we're meeting as those that love Jesus, those that just love being in the presence of the Lord, those that want to move to the other side to see what you have for us there. Through whatever situations and circumstances we find ourselves, I thank you, Lord, that you're taking us through. That you're taking us through, Lord. Lord, you won't leave us to die in the storm. You'll take us to the other side. It won't always be the way we think we should go, but you will take us, Lord. And so this morning, Lord, I pray for your provision for every single person here. If there are those that are struggling financially, Lord, I pray for your protection. In this time, Lord, there's many things going on around us that we need your protection, Lord. And I pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit. I just pray that for the presence. Holy Spirit, just go right now. Just touch people right now, wherever they are. Touch them. Touch them. You are wonderful. You are everywhere. You're omniscient. Somebody spoke about, I think it was Luke that spoke about the Lord's got a banner over us. In Isaiah 10, 17, it says, the enemy wants to come in like a flood, but the Lord has raised up a banner over us. The Lord omniscient. He is here. He's for us. And so I pray this morning, Lord, I thank you for these wonderful, faithful, courageous people, that, Lord, your hand would rest upon them, that this week they would have encounters with you, that you would love them and teach them what it is to walk closely with you, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if they want to whisper.
Let's sing one more song before we rush off.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus.